Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the St. Lucie County Fire District Board of Commissioners meeting this Wednesday, April 15th, 2026 at 3:02 p.m. Please call the roll, Madam Clerk.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Please stand for the invocation. Commissioner Leonard, would you please give us the invocation?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you bestowed upon us. Thank you for keeping our men and women safe out there that travel the roads each and every day. Thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us, and we just ask you to continue to bless us and bless others. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we're on proclamations and special presentations for off-duty airport resuscitation. I don't see.
Let's
move forward. Okay. Let's get this one for now.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to make it.
Okay.
So we can pull 5I
mm-hmm.
and 5, well, I guess that's 5-1 and 5-2.
Yeah.
And 6-1 from the agenda.
Okay. We'll move it to next month for recognitions. Okay. Thank you. So we have promotional recognitions then, Chief.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Fire Board. I'd like to recognize someone. Actually, they actually got hired on with me 20 some odd years ago. I won't say how many 20 years ago, but it was a while ago. And this individual, we've actually been asking for a while to see if he would, you know, come into days and bring his talents into days and help us out a little bit. He's one of the most well-rounded people that we know. Does a very good job, very well respected, and he's coming into days, take over the chief operations position, and we're promoting him to deputy chief of operations. I'd like to introduce Deputy Chief Donnie Stefani.
Thank you, Chief. Madam Chair, board members, thank you. The well-rounded part might be a little sketchy with the computer stuff. That's what we're finding out with the printers and things today. I look forward to this opportunity to serve the community further. It's always been something I wanted to do, and not be on days, but serve the community and give the men and women in the street what they need and try to help them provide that service that we all expect to our community. So I look forward to the challenges in the office and also still being out in the street to kind of connect the two together and give them what they need. So, and also, while I'm up here, I'd like to recognize some other promotions. It's always exciting to promote young people, and especially when you've worked with them and brought them up and did some things with them. And the first one we're going to talk about is Captain Sloat, David Sloat, if he could come up. He was actually my driver when I was a captain at 6 on the Special Ops team. I left, and then he progressed into a lieutenant role and ended up back on the Special Ops team as a lieutenant. And I came back to visit him again as a division chief of his shift and shared basically an office with him. So we've worked together for a long time. I was always on that side of him, but so I'm very proud to see him taking the next step in his career. I'm sure he'll be back in the special ops capacity at some point because he can't help it. He's been on the team for most of his career.
10 years.
So very proud of him. So Captain David Sloat, he'll be at Station 20 in Tradition. The second promotion today is going to be Lieutenant Michael Dawson. If you could come up. Although we've never worked together in like next to each other on the trucks, we've been around a while and he's been around. We've been on calls together and he's progressed to his career quite nicely.
Yes.
Coming from the driver's role as well into lieutenant role. It's an easy transition because you spend a lot of time with the officer, and you learn a lot by driving the officer around and being their left-hand person. So I think it'll be an easy transition for him. He's going to serve the community well. And you ended up at 11C.
Yes, sir.
So he'll be serving the western side of our community. And yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Moving right along to the driver's positions. The next person we're going to call up is Joshua Wozar. Oh, all right. All right, the next person we're going to be calling up is Bryce Dowdy. Bryce is currently a driver already. He's been promoted, but he's also helping with the new hire group right now. So he's transitioned from shift schedule to a day schedule to help the training division better our future of our brand new employees that just started this week. So he's a proud member of that team right now, and he is going to be at 6B as of now as a driver, which is on Midway Road. And Bryce has been on the job for 10 years, and he's helped the training division 3 times now. So he's a valuable asset to them, and they're always glad to have him. So we appreciate all he does, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy the driver role.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right, Joshua Wozar, come on up. This is Joshua Wozar, driver engineer. He's being promoted to the position of driver engineer. He's a paramedic. He was recently at 14 on C shift, and now is going to 15 B shift. So he'll be serving the citizens of Avenue D in that area in Fort Pierce. I worked with Joshua a lot, specifically on his step up capability and his engineer test. He was on our shift, so pretty proud to see him move through that process, take the test, do well, get promoted, and take the driver's spot. He's also an Army veteran. Air Force veteran, sorry.
Army of the Sky.
I should know that. Army of the Sky, that's right. That's what you told me last time I messed it up. So, congratulations, buddy.
Yeah.
And I believe that's all the promotions for today.
So, Madam Chair, if I may, we didn't have badges for engineering. They're on back order. I don't know.
Awesome. Oh, okay. Great.
Lieutenant was sworn in because he gets sworn in as an officer, so Chief Stefani and Captain Slode have already been sworn in as officers.
Great, thank you. Well, congratulations to each and every one of you. We know we have the best of the best here in St. Lucie County Fire District. I wish you all the very best and continue to be safe. So thank you, thank you. All right, we're going to move on to our mid-year update. Chief Langle.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, board members. I'm here to present you the mid-year update on special projects. Very quickly. So first and foremost, traffic preemption system, the GLANTS. I consider this the most important special project because this project alone literally can be responsible for saving lives, lives of not only our firefighters, but also the people that we serve. So that's why it is first in the PowerPoint, because of its importance. As you can see, we're 100% complete on all St. Lucie County owned frontline vehicles, 100% complete and operational on all county owned intersections. PSL, Port St. Lucie, is making strides in progress. They've got 36 operational intersections and 114 remaining in progress. And I know I've had several discussions with Commissioner Morgan on this, and she beats the drum, and thank you for all of your help, Commissioner Morgan, on pushing this through. So I'm very happy with the progress in the city of Port St. Lucie. City of Fort Pierce is currently pursuing funding options to get their project started with much smaller intersections. Moving on to the logistics facility expansion project, that was completed as of January of this year. That included the additional 3,700 square foot of logistics space, including loading zones, distribution, and inventory space for our expansion of our fire stations. And Remnant was the construction manager on that project. Station 5, concrete and curb repairs, that's 100% complete as of this month. It included repair of the rear apron, side access replacement, and concrete grading and slope improvements, and that was managed through our special projects, the captain that reports directly to me, Captain Wade Tyndall. Station 7 followed the same month, and there were about $12,000 worth of improvements at Fire Station 7. It is our oldest fire station, and we're currently working to relocate that fire station. So we're trying to be as sparingly as possible with funds to, but again, keeping them functional. And that was also managed by Captain Tyndall of Special Projects. Fire Station 12 expansion project should be complete by next month, May. It included an additional 720 square foot, getting the bunker gear out of the fire station truck bays, obviously for carcinogen reasons and health. And also the additional of a fitness room. That was a late 80s fire station that essentially we've just outgrown, right? We have many more crew members operating out of that fire station. It's probably a top five fire station is in terms of busyness, and we run Bravo rescues out of that station. So we're bursting at the seams. So it was a much needed improvement for them. And that is currently including the upgrade of the access controls, which the key cards now, no more codes as we do in this building. And then also the security cameras for our risk department and to minimize risk at our fire stations. Logistics South expansion, Chief touched on it a little bit, expanding the PPE area. It included a truck bay, it's about 2,000 square foot, and that should be completed or finalized next month. It'll give us the ability to repair our own protective bunker gear, which should save money. And I'll let Chief Cristaldi touch on that in his presentation next month. Remnant Construction was the construction manager at risk on that project. Fire Station 19, new Station 19. The projected, we're about 90% complete. The unofficial opening is slated for June 17th, which is the fire board date of next month. If everything goes well and we don't get monsooned out. And of course that incorporates our new model for fire stations of roughly 11,000 square foot, almost 12,000 with the updated helipad fuel depot. There'll actually be a little bit larger fuel depot at this fire station because of the training complex that'll be adjacent to it. So they'll both share that fuel depot. So we're on track for that. And Remnan is the CMAR overseeing that project. Fire station 14 concrete and stucco repairs were about 50% complete. We split it up. We did some stucco repairs so building and grounds could kind of do the new paint scheme and repaint it with some small concrete repairs. And then there's currently about 50% of that left, and that should be completed in July of this month or this year. Fire station 10 rebuild, as you can see by the picture, it's completely tore up. We're about 40% complete. Project completion date is March of 2027. Now, when I say March of 2027, that's the completion date of everything, the entire site. We anticipate having our crews out of the temporary housing, which you can see down at the bottom that was provided by Jacquin and Sons and their GMP, out of that temporary housing and back into the fire station November of this year. So, but site improvements, disbanding that, you know, temporary housing will take some time and on other associated infrastructure improvements. But those can be done while our crews are back operating out of the new fire station. The administrative complex skylight, if you walked in the lobby this afternoon and you looked up, there's some mold and it's old. I think it's fiberglass, I'm not sure, but I know everybody's scared to touch it because it may crack and break in half. It's literally 20 years old, like this building. So we enlisted and it took a while. That was managed by Captain Tyndall, but we found a contractor that would actually take the job, Skylight Concepts. And we're about 33% complete, and it is anticipated to be done in June of this year. Fire Training Complex, that's a rendering of one of the buildings at the complex that will be adjacent to Fire Station 19. Approximately 22,000 square foot building that is in that rendering there would include office space, classrooms, EMS labs, mock fire station with, you know, fire apparatus in the bay there to utilize on the fire grounds. And live burn building, burn tower on that same side along with the training tower and also associated training props. We're at 30% design phase with that, and we anticipate construction shovels in the dirt December of this year. So hopefully we'll have a groundbreaking again to shovel some dirt for the training complex. The administrative complex security fence project here, it's currently in the bid phase. I think we've secured the three bids through our special projects Captain Tyndall. We're reviewing them, so we should come back to the board possibly next month for approval to move forward with that to secure the complex as we have here now because of the new fire stations and the additions that will take place here. Speaking of additions that take place here, a few months ago you approved the Logistics North building, approximately 15,900 square foot building. We anticipate the construction of that to start in May. I actually see them preparing to put the silt fence up as I pulled in this morning. So that is moving along considerably. So excited about that, excited to have that ancillary space, additional truck storage space, spaces to run certain events, times of the years that we have here, and then also to serve as a backup shop in case, God forbid, something happens to the current shop. It's a literally transition from that building over to this building, and they could operate as nothing happened. So it's a really good redundancy built in that Chief Lee had approved and come up with. Fire Station 7, relocation and rebuild. There you have the proposed 3.3-acre site. We're in the land procurement and planning phase. I'm in constant contact with Joanne Riley from the county and trying to get this pushed through. It will eventually house a 4-bay fire station with the capacity for future expansion. Essentially, we'll put a larger, wider truck bay on there just for future expansion of the airport. So it can possibly house an additional ARF truck at that fire station if and when the airport expands in the future. Fire Station 21, the new Station 21, we're in the land procurement and planning phase of that. I know I've had several discussions with Mayor Martin and the developer on this, and the last one that we come up with, it's somewhere in the south of the Tradition Parkway area, and it would incorporate our current fire station model.
So Chief Wengel, I spoke to Chief Lee. Did you tell him already?
No, I didn't tell him.
Okay, so the council...
Set me up, aren't you?
So the city council approved the reimbursement agreement with Mattamy.
Awesome.
The construction of North South A, now known as Sundance Trail, on Monday. The stipulation in that agreement is that that road will be open to the public from Crosstown Parkway to Discovery by December 31st, 2027.
So perfect.
We're ready to go.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Coming back to the board with the approval next month.
Yeah, and what's important to note about that is if we had not worked in partnership with Mattamy and got that done, mm-hmm. that developer wouldn't have been required to do that road for 11 years.
That would be unacceptable. Absolutely. We couldn't have that. That's a need today.
Yep. So we pushed and pushed, and we got it done, and so it's going to be done really soon.
Yeah, so basically we would have had to find a new site.
Right. But they understood the importance of getting it done from a first responder perspective, and so I think that also helped with, you know, them making the decision to move forward.
Absolutely. Happy to hear that. And then Fire Station 22, new Fire Station 22. So we're in the land acquisition discussions with developers up in Northwest County. There's two large developments going up in that area. One that's tied to the Bucky's development on the south east side of the road, and then one that's kind of tied to the northeast side east of the now existing Spanish Lake Fairways. It's kind of like a race, so whichever one gets there first is the one that we're going to kind of try to make a deal with to acquire a 3.5-acre site. I've had discussions with Joanne on that. There's sites at both developers, so it's just a matter of who gets there first and who kind of helps us out the most. That'll be the site for Fire Station 22.
Are we talking just land, or are we talking pad-ready site?
We're going to talk all that.
I would love to talk about pad-ready sites.
Me too, because that's less work for us.
Is this the one they're talking about putting towards Johnson Road?
Yes, on the north side. Yes, it'll essentially stretch from the existing Cobelgard to Johnston. Yeah.
They're creating the impact. So they
Yes, and I feel like they're a little bit ahead of the other one on the south. So.
Okay. I think that's Bednar.
Say again, sorry.
Oh.
That's on the south side of Indrio that we just recently carved Bucky's out for.
Right, okay.
And that's all I have, other than just an update. It wasn't on there. I've been working with the county with the impact fees. And in preliminary discussion, it looks like it's going to stay flat. Hopefully we'll complete that in the next couple of months, and there should be a finalized report out to provide to you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just wanted to state about the preemption lights, the glance system with Port St. Lucie. I will have to say it's a team. Shannon and I believe we mention it at every city council meeting that it is a priority, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with all my ride-alongs that I've been doing, Station 10 is complete.
I believe that is one of the...
Yeah, that was scary coming out of there with calls. So I know that they bumped that up and got that done. The others, not yet, but they're getting there. But Station 10, and I did see Jacqueline today and pushed him on Station 10 also, so... Thank you.
All right. So we have another mid-year update on workforce. Chief Gonzalez.
Yes, good evening or afternoon. I was here last year and we spoke about, did a mid-year review. But my presentation last year was a little bit more about what was going on in the state of Florida as far as shortages of firefighters and what we planned on doing about it. Today, what we're going to focus on is the fire district itself, where we're at today, where we're going, and what our plans are. So we'll start off with our call volume. All right, so we talk about a five-year forecast. So if you're looking at about a call volume in 2025, just last year, we ran about 71,000 calls. If you look at approximately how fast our community is growing, it's growing to about a 3 to 4% annually. When you look at those numbers, we're anticipating anywhere between 85,000 to 87,000 calls in 2030. So that's representing about a 20 to 24% increase. So that's things that we need to think about when we're moving forward in the next 5 years. So where are we currently? Okay. Currently on the line, we have 512 firefighters to staff 20 stations, and that's including station 19 that's under construction right now. That'll be ready here in a couple of months. It requires about 550 firefighters. The reason there's an asterisk there is because that's ideal. That's 550 firefighters if we were not utilizing overtime, if that's what we needed to staff those the entire department. But there has to be a sweet spot, a happy medium, right? Because if we use those 550 firefighters, then there's times where we're going to have way too many firefighters because of vacations and sick and things like that. And then, but if we use that sweet spot right now, that 512 is close to that sweet spot where we're utilizing a little bit of overtime, but not too much. And what that does is it also saves the taxpayers some money by utilizing a little bit of overtime, but not too much overtime. Currently, we have about 56 personnel in the drop. So those 56 personnel could potentially leave today. So that's things that we have to think about for the future, right? And if we look ahead on that 20 to 25 year employees, we have 87 employees that are within the 20 to 25 years. So that's something that we also need to take into consideration when we're looking at the future of the fire district. If we don't utilize those 87, if we're just looking at our drop participants and also the difference between the 555 and the 512, we're looking at about 94 firefighters that are needed to cover attrition and the difference in firefighters. We're also need to take into consideration the future stations coming up in the next 5 years, which is station 21. And I did change my PowerPoint, Sundance Trail. I told Chief Lango to change his, but he thought I was messing with him. He didn't trust me. So, and station 22, which we're talking about, the one that we're talking about over on Injuro Road. We need to talk about staff. We need to think about staffing, equipment, planning, funding. How are we going to recruit for those individuals, or for those stations, and the infrastructure? To man those stations, we're looking at about 50 additional firefighters. Once we start growing, the span of control starts to get a little bit out of control. So once we start hitting station 21, we need to consider another battalion. We currently have 4 battalions. We're going to have to start considering a 5th battalion. So now that's 5 battalions. So in order to create that 5th battalion, you're looking at 3 more battalion chiefs that we would have to hire in order to keep that span of control where we want it. That's necessary for, you know, just for leadership, for safety, you know, just for operational effectiveness itself. So what does that mean? That means in the next 5 years, we're looking at approximately 147 firefighters that we need to be looking at. On how we're going to bring them on, how are we going to onboard them, how are we going to train them, who's going to train them, and all that good stuff. So this training facility is coming around at the perfect time, right? Get that training facility up, and that'll be it's going to be huge for us. So here's some numbers for you. So if you look at this, this is a personnel by rank and years of service. If you look at just the 0 to 5 year personnel, so under 5 years, we have around 35% of our personnel in the field have less than 5 years on. So now you're looking at the 5 to 10. That's about close to 17% are within the 5 to 10 year rank. Now, if you add the other two together, the 10 to 20, you're looking at 17, 18% or close to 20%. That's what we call that missing generation. That happened between like 2009, 2014, when we only hired 9 personnel around that time. And we'll talk a little bit about that missing generation here in a little bit, but that represents that. And then you can see the 20 year and up, you know, the 87, the 52, and then the four that have over 30 years. Those are the individuals that could be leaving soon, within the next 5 to 10 years. But when you look at this chart on how it flows, because of that missing link, if you look at the lieutenants, especially the lieutenants area, you're going to start seeing younger officers in the field, right? Because of the missing link. So those individuals that wouldn't typically have that 10 to 15 year experience that's missing, now these individuals that have 6, 7, 8 years on are stepping up their game, and we have to make sure those individuals are trained to be able to take over. So kind of a summary, there's a total of 512 firefighters, 87 of them have 20 to 25 years of service, 56 over 25 years. There's a workforce imbalance. Again, there's like 30 some odd percent of our workforce has less than 5 years of experience. There's also that structural gap, that mid-year career for personnel, where we had that the recession that we didn't hire. So we're dealing with that now. And then there's a retirement wave that's coming. You know, so a lot of knowledge, a lot of historical knowledge is and experience is leaving. So we need to prepare ourselves for that. So here's that missing generation, the 2009 to 2014. 9 personnel were hired across those years. Hiring slowed down due to the 2008 Great Recession. It created a structural gap, that mid-year career on the personnel. So that limits the promotional pool too, and we saw that for a while. We saw it where we were having officer exams and lieutenant exams, and we used to have like 120 people that were eligible, and it went down tremendously. And now you're starting to see the wave come back up again. But there was a gap there that we had to deal with. And then also the capital improvement. You saw Chief Langle that was just up here giving you all these things that we had to that we're dealing with, and a lot of this has to do with this missing generation, right? Purchases had to be postponed due to that generation, and I hate to put it this way, we had to kick the can down the road a little bit, and we had to do what we could do with what we had. So then there came a time where we had to replace air packs, we had to replace extrication equipment, we had to replace trucks, we had to start hiring, we had to start fixing fire stations, building fire stations, buying new trucks, you know, and not to mention, you know, everybody here knows that we've talked about it time and time again, everything increased about 100%. Fire trucks went up from $500,000 to over $1 million. You know, same thing with rescue trucks, from $300,000-something, $250,000 to $600,000-something. You know, so we're dealing with that too. But we're just now starting to slowly get back on track.
People don't understand how much the Great Recession affected all of our organizations, mm-hmm. all of our governmental organizations, because basically everything was on hold and stopgap for so many years. Maintenance was deferred, capital projects were deferred, hiring was deferred, and particularly here, you know, going back to that conversation about if we didn't have the reserves that we had at that time, $50 million in reserves, I don't know where this organization would have been, because we had to keep taking from reserves in order to be able to sustain ourselves and be afloat and stay afloat. And then how that has compounded not just this organization, but our other organizations as well. Because then, like you said, now all the needs creep up, and then all the costs go up, and people and, you know, in the public don't understand the ripple effect that has had and how that has affected us over the past several years.
And a lot of people are still feeling it, right?
Yeah, all of us are still mm-hmm. feeling it to some degree when it comes to capital, when it comes to projects not getting done, or projects that have gone up to 60%. Right?
Yeah.
But you have to get them done because we're growing and we have to keep servicing our community. So.
Absolutely.
Great points.
So the staffing gap analysis. So we just talked a little bit about this. You know, our entry level hiring in 0 to 5 years. Again, a big percentage of our personnel are there. That mid-career gap. And then also the promotion pipeline, that pressure, that those younger individuals that are now being pressured saying, hey, you have to start stepping up your game. And our officers and our chiefs have to start identifying who's that next generation, you know, and start training them and putting them into positions to start leading this organization. So what's the retirement risk, right? So we have 143 personnel that have 20 plus years on this fire department. a lot of that, you know, not all of it, but a lot of the upper leadership is in that place, right? And that happens with just, you know, getting promoted up the chain of command. By the time you get into those positions, division chief and up, and even the battalion chief, you're looking at close to 20 years and higher. That loss of institutional knowledge, as people leave, you're losing a lot of institutional knowledge when a lot of those groups leave. And then an increased demand for rapid promotions. You know, so that's, you know, there's things that we can't control, but there's still things that we can control. So what can we control? So our recommendations here. We're going to continue to hire to offset the retirement wave. We're going to strengthen our promotion and training pipelines. And I'll tell you, like Chief Stefani's here, Chief Wilson's, those two, and a couple of others have gotten together between officer task books and going out there on the fire grounds and training and identifying those individuals that are ready to step into those positions. It's been difficult because we are limited on personnel, but they have been doing a great job identifying those individuals, and we're going to continue to do that. And then developing training for administrative leadership. That's an area where we are going to start focusing on and hitting hard, because everybody that you see up here today isn't going to be up here forever, and we have to start replacing us, or start training, and they're younger, right? So we need to start making sure they're ready to take over our positions. And then we're going to continue to align staffing strategy with long-term service demands. So that's where we're at for the year. Any questions? Yeah. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I've been blessed enough to be on this board for now for 6 years. I've asked Chief Gonzalez and Chief Lee to put all this together. Thank you. It is scary when you look at those numbers, but I feel confident the groom of talent that we have moving forward. But the institution of knowledge part that's going to be leaving us, can't control that. We can hold on to them. Hopefully, we drag them and promise them and, you know, chain them to their desk a little bit. But I feel confident moving forward. Thank you for putting that together.
Thank you.
It in front of us. Thank you.
I have a question. So, are we, since we're going to be doing our own training facility, are we going to be looking to start doing our own academy classes?
So that's kind of one of my long term goals. That it won't be something that I see come to fruition, I don't think. But I do see maybe 5 to 10.
Any other comments? Okay. Right. We'll move on to accommodations. Okay. Approval of fire board minutes for the regular meeting of March 18th and strategic planning session.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Additions and deletions to the agenda. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of consent agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to public comments. Matt Coney for the Firefighter Challenge Team. Come on up.
Give me a minute. I have a lot of pieces of flair with me today. Good afternoon, Board, Madam Chair. It is my humble honor to speak to you on behalf of your World Champion Firefighter Combat Challenge Team. This 2026 season is already in full swing. We sent a team of three of our finest geriatric males to an event in Kissimmee and won the gold medal and beat a bunch of five-man young men teams. So, kudos. Talk about that experience. It's still here, so we're still taking names out there. So we did have a couple people who didn't make it because of scheduling comments or scheduling issues to make it to our U.S. Nationals celebratory event. So if I may take a little bit of time to honor our participants who did so well at the U.S. Nationals and brought home some hardware. So if I could have for her participation in the female showdown, Miss Sasha Hernandez. There's so many rings up here. Got the blue one ring. That's you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our second award, the females did extraordinarily well at the U.S. Nationals. So second up is Miss Allison Ostreich for female showdown winner.
I like this girl power.
They tore it up. We also at that same, she's out of town due to vacation scheduling and whatnot, but Miss Catherine Kaltenbach at that same event became our newest female Lion's Den member, which is extraordinary. So she's not here to witness that those accolades, but we are super proud of her.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good job.
Photo op. So to brief you up on, I've mentioned to you before that they've instilled a bunch of new rules for St. Lucie County because we're so dominant, so they had to add certain things to one of those things. And it's also to make it more of a legitimate sport, so there's now divisions. Divisions 3, Divisions 2, so that the newbies don't have to compete with us in Division 1. So we went ahead and took that division over as well. In partly to that, the co-ed relay, we started adding females to the males team, 2 females for 3 males on everything. And in the world championship category, we not only took the gold in that, we also took the bronze in the world championship for that too. So I will recognize those athletes accordingly. Gold medalist for the under age 40 female involved in the co-ed, Miss Morgan Spagnuolo. It's Mrs. Morgan Spagnuolo. Congratulations.
Wow, you got your ring on. Look at you. Oh, photo. Nice. Congratulations.
On that same team. And she's got a number of things in here. So I got her she'll hear U.S. Nationals here as well. Nice, Maria, you got a pendant on this one as well. She's got too many rings, Tom Brady-ish. So she had to get a pendant necklace. So in her participation, she's going to get 2 rings, one for her U.S. National and a pendant for her participation in the 40 co-ed gold medal, Maria Fernandez. This one. That one's pretty.
Thank you.
It's Baker's. The Justy. Oh, that's you. Congratulations. And she's just as, we might just use her on the men's team. She's faster than Luke. He's not here, so I can say that. All right. In those said divisions, Division 2, we brought another athlete up. You know him as your favorite IT guy, but Mr. James Spagnuolo won and is a world champion in Division 2. Congratulations, champ. Yeah, right? You make me look smaller. The anchor of that team, he's got an 8-foot wingspan and he's responsible for one of the fastest hoists in the world, Mr. Brendan Ward. Look at you. For her participation in the Division 3 female category, Miss Dana Oliver. Is she here? No? I should have looked. Division 3, what we call our AAA ball workup. They invented them. We just has decided to dominate them. Division 3 world champion, Mr. Roderick Walker. Congratulations, Sadiq. my teammate this weekend up in Kissimmee, who just shouldered so much responsibility because of my handicappedness, Mr. Justin Baker. Could have done it in spite of me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You should.
I think we need a photo with all these rings.
Yeah. Well, wait. It gets better. It gets. What they started doing for us, again, the rule changes for St. Lucie County, is they stopped giving rings for each individual thing and started giving us stones on the rings to segment everything, so it's better. So some of these rings have five rubies in them. Because of all this stuff. I saved the best for last, and I'm going to do my best to get through this, but these two gentlemen not only set the U.S. Nationals record in this hybrid of a tandem that they did, but they named the team St. Lucie Team 1146. We're coming up on the anniversary of one of the hardest things I've ever been through in my career. We lost one of our brothers in line of duty death, so these guys, in addition to how heavy their packs were, they had the hearts of all of us on their shoulders when they took Team 1146 through the finish line and broke the U.S. national record. So Mr. Brian Reby and Remy DeGiusti. Brian's ring had five rubies in it. He won the open tandem, open hybrid, municipal under 40, relay hybrid. He's got five rubies in his ring too, but I don't want to bore you with all that stuff. And that's that. I'm so humble to our command staff for all the support. Thank you guys so much for this, the roster accommodation and things you do for this team. We really appreciate your support. On behalf of the team, I'm told to also thank and respond to Chief Lee. Congratulations on your contract extension. We look forward to many further collaborations in the future with this team. Thank you. And I have one more, if I may keep a captive audience for us. I have a very special guest and announcement. Mr. Rick Hatcher is here from Play Treasure Coast, and he has a very special announcement for the board today, if I may call him up. Mr. Rick.
Thank you, sir. Madam Chair, our board.
How are you?
Rick Hatcher, Play Treasure Coast Sports. And 2 weeks ago, we got a call from the folks with the Firefighter Challenge and said, would you be interested in hosting again? We said, well, which one are we hosting? Because mm-hmm. there's regionals, and there's nationals, and there's worlds. And they said, well, the worlds want to come to Florida. The world wants to come to St. Lucie County.
Wow.
Would you be interested in hosting? We said, yeah, we'll take a look at it. We got the best team around, so let's be the best host.
That's right.
And so we have started contract negotiations with support with Dr. Moore at Indian River State College of hosting it at the safety campus that's over there. We did a walk through the day, and we think it's going to work. We think it's going to be great. And this was it'll be 6 days of competition in mid-October of 2027. Unlike when we first hosted the Nationals back in 20 or 21, we had 90 days to prepare. We've got a little bit more runway here to be able to do it. And, you know, with Play Treasure Coast Sports, formerly the Treasure Coast Sports Commission, we work with all three of our counties on the Treasure Coast. We did the Nationals back in 20 or 21, Nationals then. Because we did such a great job with support from the county, we did the Worlds the following year. And then we did the Worlds in Martin County and Stewart Beach, or we're coming back to doing the worlds again. So there's not a lot of destinations that can look at the resume that we've been able to put together with the support of the St. Lucie County Fire District and the board that's here and with this team. And we're just probably going to upset even more fire districts out there when they find out that St. Lucie County has got a home game for the worlds. Mm-hmm. So we will keep you posted on this, and, you know, pressure's on, fellas.
So, all right.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to all. Well deserved. All right. Moving on to other public comments.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Gabby Rothman, and I'm a St. Lucie County business owner. I first want to start out by saying thank you to Chief Jeff Lee for following up with me and letting me know that the audio from last year's meetings has been posted online. So I appreciate your quick response. Thank you, Chief Lee. That said, I want to be clear, this is only part of the solution. Fire board meetings are held at 3 p.m., which makes it hard for many working residents to attend in person. Posting the audio online afterwards helps, but it does not give residents real-time access to what's happening or decisions being made. Residents should be able to tune into their local government live, not listening to recordings later. Other public agencies are already doing this. It's not complicated. It's a basic step to make things more accessible and build public trust through transparency. In fact, I just learned the county will stream their budget workshops live for the first time this July for the residents. So I'm pleased to hear that this is trending in openness. So I'm here today to ask the board to take one more step, please. Put on an upcoming agenda for the consideration of live streaming future Fire District Board meetings. This is a simple request for more residents to be educated when they are unable to attend the meetings in person rather than waiting until trim season. I appreciate your commitment to public safety and to fire prevention, and I thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to address the fire board? Seeing no one, I'll close comments. Comments from the union representative. Oh, coming back again.
Got a couple hats on today. Newly elected Vice President of Local 137. It's a pleasure to speak in front of you today. Thank you. Updates from the union would be on behalf of the membership. We'd like to congratulate Chief Stefani on his promotion. He's had an extensive history with union involvement, leadership, and he's a great fit. He's also just a great firefighter. So his position is outstanding for the future of this fire department. So congratulations, Chief. Collective bargaining process is about to commence. Per Chief Lee's request, we've drafted a formal letter to start that process at the end of this month, and we look forward to that. And that's when the intent for this is to begin. And that's what we have so far. Okay. Any questions? Good.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to new business, ratification of workstation replacement purchase. Chief Pichon. Who else is doing it?
Madam Chair, fire board members, just to mix it up a little bit, instead of having the chiefs up here, they kind of pulled, I guess I got the short string, so I'm speaking on behalf of everyone, but wanted to talk about PC replacement, and I just wanted to mention that we have 155. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Brett Sumblad, Chief Information Officer. So we have 155 computers throughout our agency, and they were hitting end of life. And what was happening is that we're trying to just maintain reliability across the agency, and we felt it was time to replace them. However, due to AI and increased pricing, shortages of inventory, things of that nature, we felt that we had to act swiftly to make a decision to purchase these computers ahead of time. Unfortunately, we were told by a lot of vendors that due to the shortages and price increases that we were basically coming up against a 20 to 30% price increase by the end of May. I'm sorry, by the end of March. So what happened was we decided to go ahead and move forward by doing that purchase. We also were looking at other options as well. Instead of just going out and buying these PCs, initially we went ahead and looked at other solutions. One of them was a VDI, which is a virtual desktop solution. Chief Lee asked if I can look at that option to see if we can do terminals instead of doing PCs and see if that would be an effective way to do things. We did find that it was ineffective in a way that we would have to add more hardware in order to keep up with the performance needed across all the locations that we have. So we felt it was best just to stick with what we have and just go ahead and replace the computers. This was all done through the NASBO, which is the National Association of State Procurement Officials. It's under a valued cooperative program, so we basically did our due diligence, so we didn't have to worry about getting bids for that.
Yeah. I guess grounds didn't get the memo about the board meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Timing's everything, of course. You know. So basically, the pricing that we were able to get basically just ensures that we have competitive pricing, which is operationally complex for the district's compliance and procurement requirements. The total cost for these PCs came up to $250,035.15. To pay for these PCs, we were using account number 900-522-5215, which is the IT and computer AV supplies account string, which provided $175,000 that was budgeted for that purchase. The remaining balance of $75,035.15 was funded under account string 900-522-3410, which is under consulting services. So the staff recommends Fire Board ratification of the purchase of 155 replacement workstations in the amount of $250,035.15, utilizing the National Association of State Procurement Officials, NASBO, Value Point Cooperative Purchase Program, and approval of the identified funding sources to cover the total cost.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
I have a question. Do you know what the life of these will be?
Usually, when it comes to PC equipment, we like to have a replacement program. Typically, 5 years is kind of the standard.
Okay.
I know sometimes due to other competing things that might happen, it might go beyond that. And I know that with the computers that we have right now, we did go beyond the 5-year time just because of just trying to squeeze all the life we could out of them. So I think we were definitely at a point where we had to make a decision and get this this lot of equipment that we needed.
And is this all that you need? Is this the complete replacement?
As far as PCs, yes, that would definitely cover replacing all of them. I know that a lot of times it's always a good idea to do small batches, or maybe doing, our initial goal was to do all the fire stations and then all of admin. But we found out that, if we were to wait another year, who knows where the market is going to be. Price would probably be a lot more expensive, so we felt it was best just to secure all the equipment now and give us some consistency across the board so we'd have all the same PC models, and it just makes it easier for maintenance as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Next, Riga Q. CQL Max ID handheld Raymond. I hope I pronounce that right. If not, oh well.
That's good. Good afternoon again, Chair, Board. This actually is I'm actually excited to be up here today to talk about this because we've been discussing this handheld device for several years now. Matter of fact, the first time we started discussing this handheld device, it was close to $100,000. I would say it was around $70,000-$80,000 just for one device. It's one of the few things that has actually come down in price. Right. So I know the hazmat team, our hazmat specialists, have been asking for this Rigaku handheld device. Right now, currently in the county, we really don't have anything for as far as unknown substances to be able to find out what substances we have and be able to look and see so we can be able to mitigate the situation in the scene appropriately. We'd have to take some tests, send them off to labs, wait for, the, for them to come back, and that takes time, takes money, and it also put might be putting a building out of commission for a while. So first I'd like to thank the St. Lucie County Commission, the board. It was approved through the board to utilize opioid abatement money to purchase this. So thank you very much for everybody on the board. That was really, really nice of you guys to do that. And also with George Landry and Ron Guerrero, they assisted in a lot of it too to make this happen. So before we ask the board to vote, I would like to bring up Deputy Chief Donnie Stefani. He's actually going to show you the device and do his best to walk you through it.
So I'm just walking around. This each one of them was about $47,000. Thankfully, through Chief Lee's actions in the county, we were able to secure some funds through them to purchase one for each of our hazmat firehouses. So there'll be one at 17 in Tradition and also 18 right next door. What this does is save the crews and the public and everybody in the healthcare world time, because of unknown substance, we have to go on the basis it's the worst thing ever. To give an example, about 2 years ago, we had a powder at the courthouse, the federal courthouse, and it was a letter and had some substance to the letter, and the powder was open, somebody was exposed to it, and without knowing what it is, we can only test for a couple things there. We can go through the really bad things, but we have to put the building out of service. That person has to go to the hospital and be evaluated. Everything is shut down. This device has a laser right here, and it can scan powders. It can scan through containers and tell you what's in the container. It also has a vial holder where you put a vial of medicine. So if you were on like a call with fentanyl and you weren't sure if it was fentanyl, it can be detected through there. So it has a lot of capabilities. I'm not going to try to show you how to use it because we just got it, and there's actually a doctor coming to train us on how to use it. That's part of the company. So for this much money, we want to make sure we're using it properly.
Yeah, put it back in its case.
We're yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Case there, he's handcuffed to it. But this process has been going on for about 4 or 5 years now. Captain Sloat was there when we started it, and also Captain Miller, who's captain at 18. He was on the same crew with us, and we started looking into it for many, many years, and it was very expensive. And just like everything else, your cell phones, they've gotten smaller and cheaper, kind of, not the cell phones, but some of the technology. Our thermal imaging cameras are a good example. They used to be $25,000, $30,000. Now they're down to $5,000, $6,000. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this. They packed it in a smaller package, easier to use. There was also an unknown substance in Tradition just recently. It was nothing in the end, but no one knew that, so it was a drawn-out process, tied up a lot of resources, put people out of their homes. This could have solved that problem a lot quicker. So it's a huge asset for the community and the fire department. So we thank everybody for the involvement. Thank you, Chief, for working with the county.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Any questions? I can't use it. I could. It's
So with that, we'd like to have the staff recommends approval of the purchase of two of these units at a price point of $47,400 and to utilize account string 517 and 518, special operations equipment. Freight for both units is a total of $320 and a final cost of $95,120. The St. Lucie County Board of County Commissioners will be reimbursing the fire district for the two units.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, St. Lucie County.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, St. Lucie County.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right, okay. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution number 795-26.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Mid-year review, our March 31st was mid-year for this fiscal year, and as we do every month, we analyze the actual salary expense and fringe benefit expense and extrapolate it through year end through September 30th. And this mid-year review identified some areas in the budget that we could reduce and move those funds into fund balance, which provides a better estimate of the fund balance at September 30, 2026. So whereas subsequent to the adoption of the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget for the St. Lucie County Fire District, staff reviewed salary and benefit expenses through period 6-03-31-2026 and identified expenses linked to specific object codes that are trending below the original budget estimates. And whereas identification of mid-year budget reductions improves the accuracy of estimated year-end fund balances, 9/30/2026,
And whereas Section 189.016 Florida statutes requires the St. Lucie County Fire District to adopt a resolution to amend the budget, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District in a meeting assembled the 15th day of April 2026. Funds are hereby amended as follows. Group health, reduction of $966,672. Firefighter salary expense, reduction of $2,740,238. And administration expenses across a variety of different object codes, a reduction of $964,086. And as I said, all those funds are being moved into fund balance, the general fund balance, for a total of $4,702,946. And these increase in fund balance also has those decreases, so the net change in budget is zero. Duly passed and adopted by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District this 15th day of April, 2026.
Any questions? If not, is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Resolution number 796-26. National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Board. I'm Battalion Chief Richard Hall. I oversee our communications division. Telecommunicators, as we know, are widely recognized for answering emergency calls, but their role extends far beyond that. They also provide life-saving instructions and coordinate the resources that respond. That work continues to grow. As Chief Gonzalez touched on with our numbers here, we are actually right now averaging over 200 calls built per day, which at this point has resulted in approximately 500 more total calls than we had at the same point last year. But those 200 calls that you hear about, the dispatch calls, don't tell the whole story. They don't account for all of the multiple calls that we get on single incidents. It doesn't account for all the non-emergency calls they take in from personnel, from which are internal, as well as the public and partner agencies. And our dispatchers do all of that work while maintaining multiple certifications and completing ongoing training. For that reason, we wish to recognize through this resolution the full scope of their services. Whereas the telecommunicators of the St. Lucie County Fire District, who processed 71,203 emergency calls last year, are the first and most critical contact that our citizens have with St. Lucie County Fire District Emergency Services. And whereas these telecommunicators are the vital link to those calling for help and to firefighters and paramedics, and monitor emergency personnel's activities by radio and telephone, and provide them with living, life-saving information to ensure their safety. And whereas the safety of SLCFD firefighters and paramedics is dependent upon the quality and accuracy of information obtained by all telecommunicators from the citizens who telephone the St. Lucie County Fire Emergency Operations Center, and whereas the telecommunicators of the St. Lucie County Fire District Emergency Communications Center have contributed significantly to the suppression of fire and the treatment of patients in life-threatening situations, and whereas each telecommunicator, who is the unseen individual providing a calm voice when emergency arises, has exhibited compassion, empathy, and professionalism while keeping our community and its safe citizens safe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the St. Lucie County Fire District does hereby proclaim the week of April 12th through the 18th, 2026, be known as follows: National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, and commend the St. Lucie County Fire District telecommunicators for their efforts on behalf of St. Lucie County and its citizens. Duly passed and adopted by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District on this 15th day of April, 2026.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Comments by the chief.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't even know where to start. I'll start with the telecommunicators. They do an awesome job, and it'd be nice if anybody wants to go get out and see them. Commissioner Morgan, I'll challenge you. You said you had five more stations to do with communications.
We're there.
The combat talent team, I don't know how an organization could be more proud of the men and women who dedicate so much of their time and effort. And it's not something they just go out on a weekend and do. They train constantly. shows up, you know, what hard work can do. So kudos to you guys, and thanks for making us look good. And Rick, thank you again for everything you do, and that's a huge thing, bringing the world here. So thank you, guys.
Mr. Bergeron, comments?
Just wanted to point out the draft or the proposed budget adoption calendar. It's attached to the to my item. The first public hearing is right now planned for Wednesday, September 9th, and these meetings start at 5:01 p.m. And that's the, you know, off schedule meeting. And then the final hearing to adopt would be on Wednesday the 16th after the regular meeting. And the plan is to run the advertisement the weekend of September 13th. So no action needed. Just wanted to let everybody know so they can put that on their calendars.
Great.
Thank you.
Ms. Sable, any comments? Comments from board members? Anyone have anything?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes?
So we mentioned during the strategic planning about streaming the meetings. Didn't we come to some sort of consensus on that? Okay.
So if that's the direction, we'll make that happen.
And then I would, you know, was wondering if the chief or Ms. Sable could provide an update to the fire board as to the status of the report that was contracted to the Board of County Commissioners.
That investigation hasn't been concluded, so there's no update to provide at this time.
Will that report be finalized at some point and provided to the board?
That's my expectation, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Morgan.
We'll start with that.
Going down the line here.
Yeah, we meaning that Mayor and also Chair Fowler attended the networking firefighter lifesaver awards this morning, and the recipient was Mike Coffee, who is, he will keep you in stitches. I did go to Station 7 when he was there, and of course I've known Mike for 30 something years. Maybe 20. I'm not that old, but I've known him for many, many years. I have never seen him so emotional and choke up. So now I got something on him. But congratulations goes out to Mike Coffey for his being awarded the lifesaver.
And Station 7.
Yes, and Station 7. So, and I was blessed to have been there during that shift where riding with them. So thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just share again, the importance of us starting to push out the information to the residents in terms of our costs of things, our challenges, what we're doing. I had three professionals with me on Monday, and they happened to sit for the fire board review, and I happened to just ask them, a banker, a business owner, someone in healthcare, what do you think a fire truck costs these days? And their best guess was $250,000. So the fact that this board, we are all saying we need to work on communicating, getting the message out there, that just, again, goes to solidify that we have to inform and educate our residents. And so I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I went to the breakfast this morning, and thank you, Michelle, for always doing that. So we can start with the good, there's good information right in here. And so when we produce information, we should remember that it just isn't for us. Should be for all of our constituents.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll echo Chief Lee's sentiments about the combat challenge team. Winning never gets old. I told Matt that earlier, but it is hard work, determination, and the sacrifice that each one of you make, as long as your families, to go out there and compete and make St. Lucie County proud and make us proud. So on behalf of the board, and I'm sure the residents of St. Lucie County, congratulations. Thank you. Keep winning. And Rick, well done. I can't wait for Worlds to come here in 2027. That's going to be fantastic.
Thank you. So I agree with Commissioner Fowler. We do need to do a better job about communicating what we do. And I know our PIO, new PIO, has been working on the annual report. So it would be great to have a nice program where we could get a lot of information out to the public about what we do, about what things cost. And I know being very skilled in social media, that she'll be able to do that for us. So, all right. Do we have excused absences for March? I think we were all here, weren't we? Yeah. So, okay. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We got South Bend.
Oh, good luck. Speaking of you, I'm going to the hysterical society.
Scoundrel, thank you. Good presentation.